Would you read together with me from the screen the title of today's sermon? Looking at Others Through God's Eyes. Based on this passage from 1 Samuel 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king from among his sons. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and Jesse brought his sons before Samuel. And so it was when they came that Samuel looked at Eliab and said, surely this one is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at only his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man only looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I invite you to find your sermon outline in your worship folder this morning as we consider our theme, looking at others through God's eyes. So how's your eyesight this morning? Do you wear glasses or contact lenses, or should you be wearing glasses or contact lenses? Have you had your eyes examined lately by an eye doctor? Both here in Richmond and in our congregation, a good question is this. How do Chinese people see Caucasians? How do Caucasian people see Chinese people? And whatever background or country or race you come from, how do you see others who are different than you? What do you see when you look at them? How do each of us see people outside the church, whatever their background? And when you take a good hard look in the mirror, what do you see when you see yourself? Our sermon today tells us it's time for each of us to have an eye exam. We need this exam so that we can look at others and we can look at ourselves through God's eyes. In the story of David's selection to be the second king of Israel, we see an important distinction between the way we see ourselves and others and the way that God sees us. God said to Samuel, verse 7, the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks only on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks in the heart. The prophet Samuel had been chosen by God to anoint a new king since the first king of Israel, Saul, failed. And God revealed to Samuel that he should go to Bethlehem to a house of a man named Jesse because one of Jesse's sons would be the new king. And the sons were paraded before Samuel. The first son stood before Samuel, and Samuel thought, this has got to be the one. He's tall, he's handsome, he's young, he's great looking. But God said, Samuel, you're only looking at outward appearances. I am looking at his heart. This is not the one. And one by one, the sons came and were paraded before Samuel without being chosen. And finally, Samuel asked Jesse, do you have any other sons? And Jesse said, well, yeah, I got one more. He's the runt of the litter. He's David. He's little, doesn't know much. You ever notice how we older people have a tendency of looking down at younger people, of devaluing their potential? And even Jesse, David's father, had discounted him because he was the youngest, the smallest, and the weakest. How many times have people been devalued? because of their age. They're too young or they're too old. Their race, their skin color, their appearance, their possessions. This happens in all areas of life. Sad to say, at school, at work, in sports, and even in the church. It's easy to look at a person's skin color or the clothing they wear or what kind of car they're driving and where they live and decide by outward appearances that this is who that person really is. Rather than taking the time to look into their heart and see them for who they really are. The Lord was right when he said to Samuel, far too often we only look at outward appearances. Is there something we can learn by the way that God sees us? God saw David, and what God saw in David made him choose David to be the new king. And later, all through Scripture, David is described this way. David is, quote, a man after God's own heart. Why? Let's just this morning briefly look at two stories from David's life that gives us a clue. One of the most familiar stories of David is, of course, his battle with the Philistine giant Goliath. And even today, when we see somebody engaged in a challenging encounter, or when we see an athlete involved in a sporting event which is beyond their ability, we say, that person has really got heart. Or when we face a great difficulty, somebody will say to us, you gotta have heart. David had heart. He had confidence in himself, but beyond that, he had confidence in the Lord. And here's something funny. Though David's brothers, you know, the tall, big, good-looking, muscular guys, David's brothers and the other men of Israel, they were hiding from Goliath on the battlefield. At the same time, making fun of David because he was so little and because of the confidence David had in himself and the Lord. But Goliath also underestimated David because of his outward appearance. Goliath yelled across the field of battle, come here, little boy, and I'll feed you to the birds of the sky. David, little David, was not intimidated. He replied, I come against you in the name of the Lord God. He will deliver you into my hands. And we know, don't we, the rest of the story. Little David killed the giant Goliath. I honestly believe that it still must make God's heart happy to see a person like you or me face some giant, some big event and difficult experience, and instead of trusting in ourselves, putting our trust in our Lord to give us the victory and the deliverance. You and I have heard other people say to other people facing an immense challenge, buddy, you don't even have a prayer. But the child of God, knowing that that's all we really have, and in prayer, we receive from God everything we really need. And trusting and leaning upon God makes us like David, a person after God's own heart. Now, David's heart, of course, wasn't always right with the heart of God. The second famous incident of David you're all aware of, the story of David and Bathsheba, briefly told, David uses later his position as king to commit adultery and murder. And he arranged for a man named Uriah to be killed in the front lines of battle so he could take his wife, Bathsheba. God sent the prophet Nathan to confront David with his sin. And David repented and sought both God's forgiveness and a restoration of his relationship with God. And even though there were consequences of David's action, God granted David forgiveness and restoration. Now, if all we looked at when we saw David were outward appearances, we could say, he ought to be condemned. No one should get away with things like that. How easy it is to condemn other people who have hurt us or fallen into sin or made bad choices in their life. When someone has hurt me or fallen into sin or made some bad choices, I have a brief prayer I pray. A prayer that I need to pray again and again. Dear Lord, help me see that person through the eyes of Jesus. In the words of today's sermon title, we need God's help to look at others and, yes, to look at ourselves through God's eyes. For those willing to see more than just the outward appearance, who are willing to look as God looks into the heart of a person, we see in David a symbol of hope. David is a symbol of hope for all of us in our sins and our failures. David was still a man after God's own heart because as a sinner, he humbly and honestly admitted his sin and turned to the Lord for forgiveness and restoration. And David's Lord looked into David's heart and saw him clearly and loved him dearly. When our Lord Jesus hung upon Calvary's cross, he saw us clearly. He did not look just at our outward appearance. What's our outward appearance? Or our outward appearance is our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. When people ask us on Sunday, how you doing? And you say, I'm just fine. Why, really, inside, you're saying, well, I can fool anybody here. No one knows how I really am and what I've really done. But how can we ever forget how our dear Lord Jesus saw the man crucified on the cross next to him? He was a criminal, likely a thief and a murderer, but Jesus saw him as more than that. When this unnamed man with his last earthly breath turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus do? He saw the man as he was, a dying sinner. But he looked deeper and saw a sinner who was asking for forgiveness and mercy. And he looked deeper yet and saw a man who was in need of a Savior. And then Jesus told him, truly, I say to you, today, you'll be with me in paradise. And my friends, Jesus clearly sees you and me for the sinner that we are. We can't fool him. He saw us clearly and he loved us still all the way to the cross. And on that cross he paid for our sins and thank God that God still sees us for what we really are. And he loves you and me and David. How thankful we can be that when our crucified, risen, and victorious, and reigning at the right hand of the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, sees you and me, he sees us through God's loving eyes. Regarding David, God told Samuel, the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God grant us a heart so filled with your love that we will not look at others and judge them only by outward appearances. God grant us eyes to see others as he sees them, his precious and forgiven children. So this is our prayer this day, that we would all look at others and look at ourselves through God's eyes. In the name of Jesus.